Alright, everyone, it's the... Let's try that again. Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show! Dead Penetration will be here soon, but for now, you gotta deal with me. Okay, so, I'm divorcing my husband. Not me, personally, I'm not gay nor married. I'm divorcing my husband because he screws jar lids too tight. Here's why everyone agrees I should leave. An aggrieved wife on Reddit has vowed to divorce her husband after struggling for 5 years to open Jarred Foods by herself. Alleging that her future ex was over-tightening the lids on purpose. Wow. The anonymous woman posted about her alleged domestic dilemma in the subreddit r/amitheasshole, we know that, where users ask others to confirm or deny whether or not they're the asshole under the given circumstances. Sometimes I literally feel insane for being so upset over jar lids, she explained in the unsigned rant. The original poster claims she's at her wit's end with the most recent round of resealed containers, adding that it's been going on since the couple began dating. It's been a recurring cycle over the past 5 years, just a thing that would escalate until I had a major meltdown and freaked out, screaming, frustrated, and seemingly crazy because it's just a lid. Then it would get better for a while, then it would slowly become an issue again, just getting worse and worse until I'd reach a breaking point again, she began. Her hulkish hubby claimed he had a habit of tightening extra tight to keep the food fresh. Still, the OP's instability to access ingredients without him was getting in the way of her day while causing friction in their relationship. First it started with just things he used, and then over time it became every damn glass jar with a metal lid. He tightened them so much I couldn't open them without assistance. It wasn't a huge deal if he was there, but if I was alone it was so annoying. More times than I can count, I've opened a new jar of something because I couldn't get the old jar open, she recounted. This issue became untenable after her husband left her home at home for 10 days without a single loosened lid. A jar of pickles precipitated the downfall of their marriage. It can end that quick, folks. Seal a jar too tight, and she's ready to quit. It's over. First day he's gone, I discover a jar I can't open. I was annoyed and was going to the store to buy new pickles when the neighbor said hi and to let him know if I needed anything while soon-to-be ex is out of town, she began. Her neighbor successfully accessed the pickles on her behalf, but her woes continued. The next day I saw him outside and asked him to open another jar. He offered to come open all the jars. I agreed and he came in and he went to the fridge and opened all the jars except two, which he couldn't get open, she wrote, but I bet he opened her jar as well. That's when the friendly neighbor offered to take the last two jars back to his home where he had a few tools to help pop the tops. And that he did, though his efforts resulted in one shattered jar of figs. She added, he's heard me screaming about over-tightened jar lids a few times over the years, and he's really pondered if I was crazy or if my husband was really over-tightening the jar lids. However, after spending his afternoon unscrewing lids for OP, he understood she wasn't overreacting at all. He said, you know this was intentional. It was every jar, and I'm sure he doesn't regularly use hot pepper paste or mango puree or any of your other fancy cooking stuff. Then he held up the two jars he couldn't open and said, I don't know why he's doing it, but it wasn't an accident. The realization was so upsetting that she felt sick to her stomach. I vomited in the trash can and cried on the kitchen floor. What? I couldn't sleep that night. Tossed and turned all night. I called out of work. By 10 a.m. I realized that I couldn't stay married anymore and I made an appointment with a lawyer for the next day, she said, adding that they have literally no other issues in their marriage. What? Listen to that, guys. If you screw a jar lid too tight, you might get divorced. You just might. He was absolutely blindsided when he came home and told him I wanted a divorce. OP's husband refused to confess to his pantry pranks, but she was unrelenting. He still won't even admit that he did it on purpose, but the hot pepper paste is in the back of the fridge. I use it only when I make Indian food. It's behind other things. He's never used it. It's nothing you could put in food without cooking it. The pepper paste could not have been an accident. It couldn't, she claimed. That's what my life comes down to. I'm getting a divorce because the lid to my hot pepper paste was overtight. She concluded, asking other Reddit users to weigh in on her decision. Most of our friends and families either think I'm crazy or an asshole. What do you think? Many users were supportive of her decision, with many agreeing that her strong-arming spouse has been gaslighting her. No, you're not getting a divorce because of Jarlidge. You're getting a divorce because your husband is gaslighting you for sport. Oh, here we go with that. Read the top comment. I'm just imagining this dude sneaking to a dark kitchen every night to tighten all the jar lids while maniacally laughing. Really. Though some believe the story to be too outlandish to be true, claiming it's likely the handiwork of an AI chatbot, other commenters commiserated with OP's cooking conundrum, sharing their own shocking tales of hellish husbands. My abusive ex did this too! When I was pregnant, he wanted to control really random things, said one. My abusive ex threw away one shoe of my favorite pair of shoes and watched me destroy the house looking for it for weeks. He only admitted he threw it away during a fight nearly a year later, echoed another. He even helped me look a couple times. Look, in every marriage, one person likes the lid tight and the other person likes it loose. The key is finding the middle ground where nobody flips their lid. They do make jar openers. How many jars does a normal person open a day? And of those few, aren't at least some of them brand new jars from the store that the husband wouldn't have tampered with? Once again, the post went down a Reddit rabbit hole and is laser focused on someone's fictional creative writing. Could be it. He does it on purpose, so you'll give him some attention by asking him to unscrew the lid, or he's jealous that it's not his pickle you want. That's quite funny. Okay, so what do we have here? There's some food issues plaguing the athlete. That is a freak wave. Retired probation officer shoots dead former daughter-in-law, then herself. Good lord. Let's look at this. So, retired... we'll look at that also. I do want to talk about that. Hold on. My dumbass hit the wrong article. So, retired probation officer fatally shoots former daughter-in-law, then herself, on posh UES street. A terminally ill retiree shot dead her former daughter-in-law, then herself, on a quiet Upper East Side street Friday, the tragic capstone to a bitter custody dispute over her toddler granddaughter. The shocking murder-suicide unfolded along East 88th Street, down the block from Gracie Mansion, just before 9 a.m., when Chicago probation officer Kathleen Lee, 65, twice shot 45-year-old mom of two, Marissa Galloway, police said. Galloway, a special education teacher, had just loaded her one-year-old daughter into the backseat of a parked white Honda Civic when Lee blasted her in the head and back before turning the gun on herself, cops said. She took away the child's mother in order to make her son happy. It's shocking, a law enforcement source said. I've seen a lot of shit, but this is biblical shit. Galloway, a volunteer coach at Fordham University and a board member of the Central Park Track Club, was described by friends and neighbors as a devoted mom who often toted her two daughters along in a stroller on runs. Her other daughter, Four, was at the center of a bitter custody battle between Galloway and Lee's son that appears to have led to the murder-suicide, police said. She was so wonderful and she loved her kids, one resident in Galloway's East 86th Street apartment building who was so angry she was fuming with tears in her eyes, said about the slain mom. What could she have possibly done for you to hate her so much to kill her, she said, shaking her head. The bad blood could be traced in a long trail of domestic incidents, as well as flabbergasted neighbors who told the Post that both Galloway and Lee complained about the fractious feud. Sources say that Lee had terminal cancer and had been living with Galloway's ex at a Dorman building on East 79th Street while she received treatment, likely at Mount Sinai. Neighbors were aware of the turmoil between Galloway and her ex. She always talked about the fact that she had a former husband that was harassing the hell out of her because I had child services at my door one evening asking if I ever had any problems next door, said Galloway's neighbor, Merrill Fiedelman. I said no, she's a lovely, lovely mother, a lovely woman. The troubles apparently escalated in July 2021 when authorities filed two domestic incident reports in as many days after Galloway and her ex got into arguments, including one in a doctor's office, law enforcement sources said. Cops took 5 domestic incidents reports total involving the pair between July 2021 and November, the sources said. The father complained in several reports that his daughter came home with bruises, according to the sources. 2 led to Administration for Children's Services complaints where investigators found the accusations were unfounded, sources said. Lee, however, apparently believed that Galloway was abusive. Okay, that's finished. A resident in the building where Lee stayed with her son told the Post that she ran into the shooter Thursday, dressed in a hot pink dress and showing no signs of her cancer diagnosis. She used to say things to me like, "The mother is abusing the child," the neighbor said, which I don't think there was any evidence of that. But I know she did not like the ex-daughter-in-law. Sources said an agreement gave the father custody Friday through Monday, while Galloway had their daughter the rest of the week. A custody switch off appeared to be in the offing Friday morning as Galloway put her other child, the 1-year-old girl, into the car. She was loading a stroller into the trunk when her former mother-in-law shot her in the head. And then when she's on the ground, Lee shoots her in the back, NYPD Chief of Detective Joseph Kenny said, describing surveillance footage obtained by police. Lee then shot herself, falling onto a sidewalk and dropping a loaded gun between her and Galloway, Kenny said. Both had suffered gunshot wounds to the head, he said. The baby was unharmed in the shooting, Kenny said. Well, that's good. The 3 gunshots shattered the peace of an otherwise calm tree-lined block, a stone's throw from the mayor's official residence. I heard yelling, and then I heard shots. I jumped into my doorway for cover, a witness told the Post as sirens blared around him. And then I looked and saw the lady with the white hair fall onto the sidewalk, he said. I thought something might have happened down by Gracie Mansion, and she was hit by a stray bullet. But then when I went closer, I saw there was another woman lying behind the car who was also shot. Another witness, who gave his name as Mr. Rodriguez, said he pulled up for work just minutes before and heard gunshots. He and others alerted cops at Gracie Mansion about the shooting, he said. This is very sad, he said. This is a very nice neighborhood. Very quiet. The police are close by. I never saw anything like this here. Cops found Galloway, bloody but still breathing, slumped near the car's rear, witnesses and sources said. Lee lay on a sidewalk, a self-inflicted gunshot wound in her head, Kenny said. Medics pronounced Lee dead at the scene while they rushed Galloway to Weill Cornell Medical Center, where doctors declared her dead on arrival, Kenny said. 2 guns were found near Lee, a loaded 9mm Glock pistol on the sidewalk near her, and another firearm inside a tote bag she was carrying, he said. He said cops will investigate whether those are retirement weapons from Lee's time as a probation officer in Cook County. Neither of the firearms had a history of being stolen in New York City, he said. Meanwhile, NYPD investigators on Friday night were seen entering the Upper East Side building where Lee had been living. One of the cops later walked out with a cardboard box, the contents of which was unclear. Galloway's death sent ripples of grief beyond her Upper East Side and enclave. Her fellow runners at the Central Park Track Club, where she was a longtime member, former board member, and current advisory board member, spoke of their heavy hearts in a statement. She was a wonderful mother, a dedicated runner, and a great friend to so many of us, they wrote. She had the biggest heart, touched everyone she met. She also had been a Fordham coach and was loved by all her athletes. She will be so missed by the entire club. Galloway's attorney, Matthew Ehrlich, said he couldn't get into details on the custody because of the attorney-client privilege. Quite frankly, I'm just devastated about what happened here, he said. You know, I've worked with Marissa for the past 3 years, and it's an unfathomable tragedy that just happened today. This type of thing should have never happened. Her ex's attorney, Nikki Ruse, asked for the family's privacy to be respected. Yep. It's crazy. A sad story altogether. How bad were things prior to this morning, we may not know. But why was the mother-in-law in the middle of a custody dispute? The only ones that be hurt by today's events are the 1- and 4-year-old who lost their mother. People, it's an act of domestic violence. Sadly, it happens in all zip codes, states, and cities. The neighborhood is one of the wealthiest areas in Manhattan. Wow, now that is kind of interesting. Okay. So, now that DP's here, we'll talk about some other issues. Apparently...
Hold on.
It's just a box of Cheez-Its.
Just Cheez-Its, man. They'll live.
It'll be fine.
It tastes just as cheesy.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Oh, shit. Now there's no way out.
Okay, so grab there. Just put it on top of the... Yeah, whatever.
Look at that perfect symmetry.
It'll be fine. Okay, so... apparent drag... It's gonna fall. Just put it on top of the thing where it was. It was on top of the...
I promise you, it's not gonna fall.
Okay.
Who's the damn design major?
Right. We'll see about that.
Well, yeah, if you hit it, it's a fucking box of Cheez-Its.
That's true. Okay, so... Apparent drag parody of Last Supper at Paris 2024 Olympics opening ceremony sparks controversy.
Yeah.
A crew of drag queens and dancers performed an apparent parody of The Last Supper at the 2024 Paris Olympics opening ceremony Friday, drawing intense criticism across social media.
Blasphemy.
This is crazy. Opening your event by replacing Jesus and the disciples at The Last Supper with men in drag. Clint Russell, the host of the Liberty Lockdown podcast, fumed on X. There are 2.4 billion Christians on Earth, and apparently the Olympics want to declare loudly to all of them right out of the gate, not welcome, said Russell. During the show, a group of 18 performers, including three familiar drag race France queens, struck poses behind what looked like a long table with the Seine River and the Eiffel Tower pointedly placed in the background. At the center was an ornately dressed woman with a large silver headdress that resembled a halo as depicted in paintings of Jesus. She smiled and made a heart shape with her hands as her peers stared down the camera before breaking out in a choreographed routine. Models then stormed the stage for the impromptu fashion show that saw the supposed Last Supper mockers swaying along the sidelines. The showcase turned into a dance floor at the end, with Drag Race France host Nikki Dole strutting down the stage. Contestants Paloma and Piche were also part of the performance. To add to the absurdity, a massive serving tray was planted on the stage, revealing a scantily dressed man painted head to toe in sparkling blue curled up inside. The Olympics said the performance was an interpretation of the Greek god of wine and festivity Dionysus, to make us aware of the absurdity of violence between human beings. But social media users felt that the group was making fun of Christianity, and even French politicians denounced the show. Practicing Catholic Marion Maréchal took to X, saying, "To all the Christians of the world who are watching the Paris 2024 ceremony and felt insulted by this drag queen parody of The Last Supper, know that it is not France that is speaking, but a left-wing minority ready for any provocation." Tesla boss Elon Musk also slammed the performance, saying it was extremely disrespectful to Christians.
Yes.
Plenty of other social media users also applauded the performance as historic, especially after it followed three drag queens carrying Olympic torches for the first time. Dole, along with artists Minima Geste and Miss Martini, participated in the ritual as the flame passed through France in May, with each saying the moment symbolized unity and peace. The Olympic drag performance comes one day after presidential hopeful Kamala Harris became the first sitting vice president to appear on an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. See? This is the problem many people have, because they want equal treatment, but really they want special treatment.
They want above and beyond. They want to take over your things. And not just the way you think, the way you believe. Religion would be one of those things. They're just bastardizing everything about you.
Right.
They're trying to, anyway.
Right.
They can't. But, you know.
But it seems instead of equality, they want superiority. Repulsive. It sounds as if a tolerable percentage of the French agree. This is not a celebration of Dionysus. Permit me to add that in finding it repulsive, I am not seeking to privilege one religion over the others. The left, on the other hand, loves sniping at one religion in particular. Loving to hate, in other words. Obviously, there's a worldwide agenda to break down the morals and norms of society. Live and let live is not part of their ethos. The Tower of Babel is being rebuilt stone by stone.
Yeah, we all know how that went.
So, let's see here. We've also got... Biden camp suggests president quickly endorse Kamala Harris to defy Barack Obama. There's a buzz swirling around the Biden camp that the president's swift endorsement of Kamala Harris was his revenge on prominent party leaders, including Barack Obama, who pressured him to bow out of the race against his will, sources told The Post. Joe Biden, who said he was dropping out in defense of democracy during his public address Wednesday, he's actually severely declining, has been told by Obama to allow delegates at next month's Democratic National Convention in Chicago to decide a new candidate, a source close to the Biden family claimed. It was Joe's big fuck you, the source said. Joe said, if I'm out, then I'm endorsing her. Talk among insiders is that Biden saw this as a final way to assert some control over his ouster. A well-placed Democratic Party source said they have heard the same, telling the Post that Obama, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and New York Senator Chuck Schumer wanted to hold a mini-primary, which Obama believed Harris would not win. Multiple sources told the Post that Obama had warned Arizona Senator and former astronaut Mark Kelly at the top of the ticket at the convention. On Sunday, Biden resigned from the 2024 presidential campaign in a statement posted to X and almost immediately followed up with a social media endorsement of Vice President Harris as a Democratic nominee.
Which is like, if he didn't know where he is, why would we vote for the person he endorses? And then if you look in the past, she was condemning him along with everybody else. Now, she's, oh, Joe's a great guy.
Oh, we got to cover that, too.
I'm wondering how many times she sucked that wrinkly old ball bag.
Biden's endorsement of Harris was Joe truly knifing Obama and Pelosi in the back for making him stand down, the Democratic Party source told The Post. Another longtime Washington insider revealed that Biden plans on taking an active role in Harris's campaign. It allows Biden to retain leverage as a much more experienced hand at national politics, which will be good for her, the Washington insider said. It means her campaign won't be run by a bunch of insular advisors. There have been simmering tensions between Obama and Biden, which began in 2015 when Obama convinced Biden not to run for president in the 2016 race, the well-placed Democratic Party source said.
Wait till you see Biden accidentally stumble out in his white hood. Oh, what? This isn't St. Christian's Day, huh?
Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama officially endorsed Harris on Friday. So, yeah.
I think she's a fucking idiot. And they were, I cannot think of her name. She's a blonde-headed girl on YouTube.
Oh, there's a little more here.
Republican. Well, go ahead and finish that.
There's a little more here, because I do want to finish this. NBC previously reported that the former president waited because he did not want to overshadow Biden's televised address to Americans on Wednesday. The knives were out for Biden, 81, after his disastrous debate with Republican nominee for President Donald Trump last month. During the car crash 90-minute debate, Biden appeared confused and bumbling and at one point froze up. According to a source close to the Biden family, prominent Democrats threatened to invoke the 25th Amendment of the Constitution and urged the vice president and cabinet to remove Biden from office, the source said. The source said that the belief within the family is that Obama wanted to get Biden out of the race, and an op-ed written by George Clooney in the New York Times asking him to step aside was a part of that plan. Calls to the offices of Obama and Biden, as well as the Democratic National Committee, were not returned. Obama persuading Biden not to run for the presidency in 2016, allowing Hillary Clinton a shot at the Oval Office, has since been a sticking point between the two men, according to reports. He was not encouraging, Biden later told the New York Times, referring to Obama. As for the race ahead, Obama has little faith in Harris, the source close to Biden family claimed.
I'm glad. I don't think I got any faith in Obama. Obama's a piece of shit.
Obama
didn't do anything during his presidency besides be black. That's the only thing people remember.
And make candy bars small and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, well,
that's called inflation.
No. I mean, they made everything smaller and they said it was like nutrition. They said that
they're saying nutrition, but it's because...
Well, this was 2008.
No, inflation's been... Every presidency, except for Trump's, inflation's gone steadily up.
Right.
Trump's, people actually came away with more money by the end of his presidency per year than the average. And then now Biden, Now they say it's like they need people need $12,000 more a year or more.
Right, right.
Yeah, I can't remember. It may be more than that, actually, just to stay in the same condition they were 5 years ago.
So Obama knows she's just incompetent. The border czar, who never visited the border, saying that all migrants should have health insurance, the source said. She cannot navigate the landmines that are ahead of her.
They should all go the fuck home unless they come here legally.
Yep. It was a really well-prepared coup that Joe blew up, though. I've been waiting to see if anyone picked up the CNN angle, but nobody seems to have caught on to it yet. I think they were in the plot to blow up Brandon, their part being to make him look really bad. Remember, a lot of people were saying that they were surprised at how even-handed CNN was in the debate. They were sent in to be even-handed for once. That was all it was going to take. And as soon as it was over, the CNN commentary panel was immediately and vociferously saying how bad Joe was. All of them. I think they'd also been told to be even-handed since that was all it would take. All of which had the side benefit for CNN of making them look like an even-handed, reputable news organization. But they were part of the plot to ditch Joe from the start.
Well, you saw Zuckerberg coming around.
Talking about
Trump.
I was really surprised. He said it was badass what Trump did.
Most badass thing he's ever said.
Yeah. So we got Pennsylvania Democrat accuses potential Harris vice president pick Governor Josh Shapiro of sexism, covering up sexual harassment. A Democrat running for statewide office issued a scathing critique of her party mate and governor, potential vice president nominee Josh Shapiro, leading to a war of words within the Pennsylvania party chief, which he's continuing in the post. Treasurer nominee Aaron McClelland appeared to accuse Shapiro of sexism and covering up sexual harassment and imply he wouldn't be satisfied playing a second fiddle in a Tuesday night tweet. I want a VP pick that's secure enough to be second under a woman, is content to be vice president and won't undermine the president to maneuver his own election, and doesn't sweep sexual harassment under the rug, wrote McClelland, who is running against GOP incumbent Treasurer Stacey Garrity. Okay, so this Kamala presidency that they want is going to fucking wreck the whole country. Yeah, it will. She wants to register all firearms. All firearms. She wants to get rid of all the ARs.
People aren't going to tolerate. She's going to preemptively start a civil war.
Yeah, she will. And I think that's her plan.
That's why it's all more important that people really stay on their guns about the cheating. There was no, and even after everything was said and done, even the Democrats, well, there was cheating, but that's so far ago, and I don't think it'll change the results anyway, so we're going to still have Biden as president.
Nebraska teen allegedly derailed trains just to get insane footage for YouTube. A teenager was charged this week with two felonies for allegedly derailing trains in Nebraska to film insane footage for YouTube. The 17-year-old, who has not been identified because of his age, posted a 5-minute video of the April 21st derailment in Bennett, calling it the most insane video I've ever taken. Oh my god, oh my freaking god, he repeatedly gasped as he filmed the two locomotives and five fully loaded rail cars come off the rails, but remain upright after hitting an empty one, causing $350,000 in damage. Are they okay? He asked after the accident, which thankfully did not cause any injuries. The team was the first to report the derailment and even approached an investigator at the scene to show him the footage, according to Fox Nebraska. He was charged Wednesday after investigators obtained a search warrant to seize a cell phone and a 4K digital recorder he was using to film the wild footage, which he'd also shared with a local news station, according to KOLN. He was hit with two counts of criminal mischief, causing damage worth more than $5,000, both felonies, the outlet said. Penalties could include a $15,000 fine and up to 7 years in prison on each count.
What, did he do something that caused the derailment?
Yes.
What did he do?
A train conductor told investigators that as his train approached a crossing, he noticed a switch was misaligned, KOLN reports. He tried to make an emergency stop, but couldn't do so before reaching the spot where the missing switch should have been.
Yeah, they need like 2 miles to do that.
The investigator later found that a padlock that was supposed to be attached to the switch was missing, indicating that it had been tampered with. The boy denied trespassing in the area and tampering with the switch, but the investigator wrote that he knew where the switch was and how it worked. Authorities later went through surveillance video from the area and discovered a vehicle and a lone driver traveling around the area just before the derailment. The footage showed a beige 1996 Buick Park Avenue traveling in the area before the 17-year-old male was seen walking on the south side of the tracks toward the switch, according to the affidavit. A motion has been filed to move the case from juvenile court to county court. When someone this young commits such an incredibly thoughtless and dangerous act with no concern for the consequences, it's time for severe punishment. We can consider rehabilitation after a lesson was hopefully learned. No consequences, no change in behavior.
Yeah, that would be true.
Yep.
But sometimes, depending on the prison system, you get into that, they never get out.
Yeah, they just
beat their kids.
Yeah.
Beat your kid. No. I mean, that's what they say. Spare the rod and spoil the child.
Okay. Trump sans ear bandage for the first time since assassination attempt slams Harris as a bum in Florida speech.
She is a bum.
Donald Trump appearing at a public event without an ear bandage for the first time since he was shot in an assassination attempt blasted Kamala Harris as a bum in a scathing Florida speech Friday.
More of a cum dumpster, really. You know she slept her way to the top.
I know. The former president, 78, tore into the 59-year-old vice president while speaking at a summit hosted by the conservative Christian organization Turning Point Action in West Palm Beach. She was a bum 3 years ago. She was a bum. A failed VP and a failed administration with millions of people crossing, and she was the border czar, Trump told the crowd of his likely Democratic opponent in the 2024 presidential race. The former president also declared Harris, who has secured the requisite amount of delegate support to be named the Democratic nominee, worse than Joe Biden and in a true sense, much more liberal. Yes. The Republican presidential nominee also took jabs at Harris's name, which he has repeatedly accused of fumbling on purpose. And by the way, there are numerous ways of saying her name. They were explaining to me, you can say Kamala, you can't say Kamala, Trump claimed. He consistently uses the latter, which is incorrect. I said, don't worry about it. Doesn't matter what I say, he continued. I couldn't care less if I mispronounce it.
I mean, it's not going to be anything, hopefully, registered in history besides the failed vice president.
Other than his jabs at Harris, Trump spent his speech reflecting on the assassination attempt that left him with a graze wound on his right ear. Up until Friday, Trump had been sporting a bandage to cover the wound. He told the Turning Point Action crowd that he removed the bandage for his group. As I think you can see, I've recovered well and, in fact, just took off the last bandage off my ear, Trump said. I don't know why I did that for this group, but that's it. I think that's it. I hope that's it. Since Biden dropped his re-election bid Sunday and promptly endorsed Harris to take his place atop the Democratic ticket, Trump has launched numerous attacks against the vice president. On Wednesday, he accused Harris of being incompetent before handing her the nickname Lion Kamala Harris. On Monday, Trump told the Post that he had two words to describe the former California Attorney General. Vicious and dumb. It's a bad combination, he said. Harris, meanwhile, has returned the favor, criticizing her political opponent at her first campaign rally earlier this week. She told a Milwaukee, Wisconsin crowd that from her years as a prosecutor, she has plenty of experience taking on predators who abuse women. Oh, and all the black guys that you arrested for drug charges, right? Yeah.
Yep, predators for cheap labor.
Yep. Predators who abuse women, fraudsters who ripped off customers, cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. Sure, there's a lot of young black men that would say differently on that. So hear me when I say I know Donald Trump's type, Harris said, igniting a roar of lock him up chants. I just canceled my Netflix account because Netflix co-founder is not a flounder.
That fucking flounder.
Co-flounder? Reed Hastings offered $7 million to Harris's presidential efforts after she declared for the election and President Joe Biden dropped out of the race. It was long overdue. Between its woke programming and constantly increasing prices, this was the last straw. Will it matter to Netflix that one customer left? Nope, but I hope others bud like them. I also donated $200 to Trump, the approximate cost of my yearly Netflix subscription. First time I've ever donated to a political candidate. Maybe he'll put it towards the millions he owes. Oh, the sexual assault victims, or to recruit losses he was required to pay after being caught stealing from his own charity. Maybe, or perhaps he can ask Biden if he could put it on one of the 20 LLCs Hunter set up so the Biden family could get paid and deposit the big guy's 10%. It's a good one. You loved it. Not too long ago, borders were secure, the world was at peace, gas was affordable, groceries were affordable, mortgage interest rates were 2.5%.
Remember when eggs were like $2?
And the economic outlook was outstanding. Now look at the mess in less than 4 years. Absolute fucking nonsense.
Now I'm eating quail eggs.
Okay,
you know how
so
small quail eggs are?
This hasn't been talked about, but basically, we'll just let this play. But, anyway, Moist Critical just got outed. Yeah, Penguin Zero, you guys know him on YouTube? Because basically, he said that he was okay with, basically, children changing their genders. And a lot of people have fallen Moist Critical for a long, long, long time. He's a very, 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 very popular YouTuber. And people used to go to him for opinions on everything and anything. And now this guy has outed himself as that, and a lot of people are leaving. Also, some shit's coming out against somebody that I followed and TFM followed a long time ago, Short Fat Otaku. And it's coming out from Aiden Paladin. I'm not going to say much, but there's a lot of people that are talking about it, have some information. Just the guy basically being an asshole. You know, now being an asshole, you don't really want to be an asshole on the internet because people are getting to that. We're getting into this weird thing where we're trying to witch hunt everybody now. There's like a witch hunt for fucking everybody you can think of. They're saying, oh, remember this person? This person did that. They were going back to Shad Man. They're saying, well, this person was, this person tweeted to Shad Man one time back when he was famous. Remember, he was famous. Remember that, back in TFM server when there was that doll that he drew? Like, he drew that big booty doll and everybody was posting it and talking about it. Yeah, that was a big popular thing. Nobody realized that he was going to draw somebody's own child. And that was the last straw. When he did that, a lot of people left him and don't want anything to do with him, nor should they. But we can't just fucking fault everybody for literally saying, Hitler drinks water, so everybody that drinks water is bad. That's literally what they were trying to say. And that is fucking stupid.
Always like on Crowder. Mm-hmm. Hitler bad, okay? We all know. Hitler bad.
Yeah. All right, so. Yay!
But he had some good ideas. No.
Don't even. God!
Honestly, when you think about it, he went down the same road a lot of politicians do.
Yeah.
He was pleading for how he was fighting for the people.
Oh, yeah, I know. Man throws away 20-year marriage after wife's slip-up at school reunion. A heartbroken husband revealed he's... Now, this is old as shit, but we're finally covering it. Revealed he's divorcing his wife of 20 years after discovering her devastating secret that all her friends were in on. Some say he's being petty, but others agree he can't accept the betrayal. A devastated man has asked for advice after revealing that he is leaving his marriage of 20 years after finding out his wife cheated on him while he was at school. There are a few childhood sweethearts who make it through to marriage, but one couple did just that and managed to enjoy 20 years of happiness together with two children until he later discovered that his wife cheated on him in the early stages of their relationship. To end such a long union for something that happened when they were so young sounds a little petty at first glance, but the defiant husband has revealed his heartbreak over the sad situation and why he can't forgive his wife.
Because she kept it secret all those years.
Sharing that they started dating when they were in high school, he and the juniors and his then-girlfriend, who was a year older than him, and the seniors, he said that for the first 2 years she was at college, their relationship was long distance. He finished high school and did a year in community college until they both went to the same college in the same city together for a year and have lived together ever since, getting married the summer after he graduated college. Claiming that their marriage had been pretty great up until he made his grim discovery, he shared a story on Reddit and told how he came to find out about the events in the past that had led to him to leave his wife. He said just after Christmas, they met up with some of her college friends to hang out, and she told them they had met in high school but didn't reveal that they dated back then. Her old college room commented that it was crazy we met in high school, had a few wild years in college, and ended up together. He wrote about the incriminating conversation. I played along and commented that I didn't know if my wife was as crazy as I was. The roommate started to tell a story, but my wife cut her off and said she was uncomfortable about it. I sensed something was up, so I said we should actually... I said that we actually started dating in high school, and we were together for my wife's entire time at college. So, this is a... I mean, we'll go through the whole thing, but it's quite a bit long. After his wife's friends went quiet and the atmosphere became awkward, with one of them pulling him aside at the end of the night and advising him to have an honest conversation with her about the college years. He did just that in the car on the way home, but she dismissed him, saying it wasn't important. He felt it was, though, and went to stay with his brother until she was ready to talk. The next day, she admitted to sleeping with several men in the first 2 years of college, but didn't think it was a big deal because they were long distance and she didn't think her childhood romance would last. I pressed for more details, he said, sharing more of the story, and she said it was at least 10 different men, including at least 3 guys she introduced me as friends when I came to visit on weekends, and one guy she was still in contact with.
Yeah.
The next day, he started the paperwork for divorce, but her family and most of his think he's stupid to throw away their marriage over a few mistakes. He believes their teenage children, who are 17 and 19, will understand why he's made his decision. I stood by my belief that cheating with multiple men for years is unacceptable no matter when it happened, and the fact that she continued to maintain relationships with these guys right in front of me was an unacceptable amount of disrespect, he said as he asked as if he was right to think this way. The replies to his post were unanimous in their strength of feeling, and most were utterly appalled at his wife's level of deceit.
Yeah.
10 guys can no longer be described as a few mistakes, one said simply as another expanded. This is where the complete disrespect comes in. She knew she was dating someone, whether she thought it was going to last or not. She's introducing him to her sexual partners as just being friends and all knowing she was sleeping with them. It was 20 years ago.
That's like a big fuck you. I don't give a shit about you.
It was 20 years ago, but that amount of savageness would be hard to look past, especially when she still associates with the other men. That is just a continual slap.
You might want a DNA swab on those kids.
I feel the pain. It's going to take a lot to get over that level of betrayal, says a third, as another agreed. Yeah, I could probably get over some ons in college, but the level of disrespect, even up to this day, I'd divorce her too. Others doubted that she would have been faithful during their marriage either. There's zero chance she's been monogamous during their 20 years of marriage.
Not she pulled that kind of shit that early on.
I certainly don't believe it. It would be strange if she just flipped a switch from one day to the next and suddenly became a loving and faithful girlfriend after behaving in a way that makes her friends feel bad for him when they found out he was her boyfriend during that period, agreed a second. Do you think the husband was right to divorce his wife? Let us know.
Hell yeah. Think about it this way. Shoe on the other foot. She would have divorced him, took out all that she could get from him.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen to the people here. Carolina Girl. The title tells us all we need to know about how the author views this poor guy. One slip up in college, one times with zero contact afterwards, maybe. 10 guys, which always means 20 plus multiple times, still in contact to this day. Yeah, she slept around after college also.
Yeah. Whatever they say, it's way more.
A woman wrote this article and framed the headline as "The Man is at Fault." Typical W behavior with zero accountability. That headline is very... Let me finish. The headline is very odd way of saying that a woman wrecked her marriage by being a long-handled farming tool. He should probably have his kids' DNA tested as well.
There you go.
Makes sense to me. Good for him. She's clearly a piece of shit. Once you start slipping on your morals and convictions, people will see that as a green light to walk all over you. You have a line in the sand. Good on him for sticking to it. She has no one else to blame but herself, but of course it will be everyone else's fault.
I think she had no one else to blame but herself. And the thing about that is, damn, like, it, you can't really compare how easy it would be. Like, women can just yell out the door, like, who wants to fuck?
There'll be some dumbass like, maybe she's got something. I'll give it a shot.
I get McCain's new warning for conservatives. Let me see what this is about. My friend, J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance are advocating activating women from all sides. Real pain or unchristian. Ooh. Okay, she's saying, I truly can't believe this is coming from a potential VP of the United States, she wrote on social media, sharing a clip of Vance's comments. All I can say is, Mr. Vance, I pray your daughter is fortunate enough to bear children of her own one day. I hope she will not need to turn to IVF as a second option, because you're trying to take that away from her, too. After lengthy deliberation and thought, and considering the tremendous talents of many others, I've decided the person best suited to assume the position of Vice President of the United States is Senator J.D. Vance, Trump wrote in a post. As Vice President, J.D. would continue to fight for our Constitution. I don't know about that.
Stand with our troops. Is she talking about abortion?
Hold on. Basically. And we'll do everything he can to help make America great again. Another post on X this week, McCain responded to a user's message relating to Vance's remarks on IVF and childless cat ladies. Uh-oh. In politics, if you're explaining you're losing, McCain wrote, you should tighten up his fucking talking points. Calling any woman a childless cat lady negates the ability for anyone to find the remarks compassionate or mature. Okay, so I do have one thing to say here. If he is literally going to use this kind of manosphere language in the mainstream media, he's going to get destroyed. And I will tell you why. Because the majority of people that are controlling the media, journalists and all that, they're going to... Look, if you look up anything that he has been saying in Google, you're going to find misogyny, terror. You're going to find all kinds of horrible shit. And I mean, I'm not even lying. Just look up MGTOW in fucking Google. You'll find everything. So if you're calling her a childless cat lady or calling these people like that, they're going to destroy this man, especially since he wants to get rid of all porn. And even Trump's not going to do that. He was in porn. Remember, I said he was in centerfolds back in 1995. He was also good friends with Hef, and he dated several playmates. So there's no way he's going to do it. But it's a very weird situation, and he's just going to have a fight on his hands, and it's a fight that we really don't need, but let's hear what he has to say. Oh, Vance defended his childless cat lady remarks. Let's see what he has to say here. Just give me a second. Yeah, I'm using the big one this time. Sparked a wave of backlash. The United States is run by childless cat ladies? Oh, Fox News in 2021. They're getting him for all his stuff he said
stuff
in 2021.
He did years ago.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, he's already, as me and Empress dug deep into this guy, we found out that pretty much this guy is not good. J.D. Vance is not good. He's fucking slime. He's not even like, he's the guy that, oh, I'm a country boy. No. No. He may have been in Appalachia, but he graduated from Yale. Dude didn't even have a draw when he came out. Like, he doesn't have a country feel to him.
Some people lose their accent.
That's true. But he doesn't have a country feel to him. And Empress
you know, Hillary
considers this guy
slime.
Well, of course,
she ain't from Arkansas. Bill Clinton is from Arkansas.
She said that he, like, everything she's looked at him, she says, I've watched his videos, watched his speeches. This guy just looks like a horrible dude that's doing fucking awful shit behind the scenes.
I'll have to
and
look into this.
I don't like this guy. Also, this dude, like, his wife is Hindu, right? His wife is Hindu,
yeah.
And he's Catholic. And well, his Catholic shit is really weird, though. According to the Catholic Register that we looked up, basically this guy knows that the fucking Antichrist is Catholic, but he decided to be Catholic anyway. Like, and also...
What did that
No, 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 no. Well, he said he wanted to be... This guy had like
there's
a...
There's no telling that...
A Christ...
The Antichrist...
Well, that's what he believes. He personally believes that the right-hand advisor to the Antichrist is Catholic.
All they know is he'll come from the seat, but you know, you think about from Israel, the sea,
yeah,
that could be
Oh, yeah, I know. But,
you know, could be the ocean.
That's his person. We're talking about J.D. Vance's personal beliefs. Remember, yeah. J.D. Vance was an atheist for many, many years of his life. Huh. He was this man was an atheist for a long time.
I just don't know enough about
him. And he said, basically, this weird event happened, like a glass fell from the... like from the bar or something. It was like standing on the bar and it hit, and that's when he decided to convert to Catholicism. But he waited
more to it than a glass. Yeah,
that's literally what he said.
Now, where's the fucking symbolism behind this?
He said he felt like it was a weird event from God or something. That it all sounds
from a bar.
Yeah, it's like it landed a certain way or something. It sounds like it. Yeah, it sounds like a bunch of crap.
If it didn't sound like he's that hardcore, if it took
glass falling
to persuade him otherwise.
Yeah, and he said he was reading like these. He said before he read this one. This one Catholic priest or whatever, before he read his words, he thought Christians were all dumb. Yeah, so the thing about this guy is, you know, he's only been Catholic for about 5 years, and he still, you know, he walked back everything he said on birth control. He actually, on July 7th, he came out. Remember, these are comments he made in 2021. But as of 2024, he walked back all his statements, and he said that he supports the abortion drug and supports birth control and all that. He supports all those kinds of things. And he said politics is a popularity contest. So sometimes, you know, trying to appeal to everyone means that I have to do things that the church of Christianity may not like. This man has not been religious.
Not very Christian, then.
This man is not very religious. This man is a man that has not been religious for most of his life. I highly recommend you look at the Catholic Register.
I'm trying to think of the.
Because I don't want to go back through that article again, but
kept tempting God.
He
was like, if this is God I'm speaking to,
yeah,
let the dew be on the ground, but the fleece on the ground stayed dry. And
yeah.
So he did it. And then he said, now, if this is really God I'm speaking to,
let
the
fleece
be wet and the dew be dry. And he did it. And then God said, you know, basically said, you know, you could say to me in different ways, I could do it. If you don't believe me by now,
right,
forget you.
Well, I mean, look. That's just what it is right here. This guy, you know, he's a guy that comes out there. He came out to a country song. Oh, we're gonna make America great again and all that. And then he's like, I don't know. Like, this guy just he doesn't feel right. You know, he just feels like a regular slimy politician that's literally just trying to say all the things. You know, like a fucking Mitt Romney was like that. Mitt Romney would say this to these people and that to those people.
Yeah.
And that's what this guy does.
He acts like there's not actual news media or fucking internet.
So this guy is getting torn to pieces. And people are going to end up, like, again, if Trump does get in, this guy's going to be torn apart.
Oh, man, I'm going to make a fortune on the porn black
because
market.
He's... Well, no, the thing is, this guy's going to be torn apart by the media because, like, look at it. Everything that this dude is saying, and by the way, this dude is my age. He's literally my age.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's not some old fart. This dude's my age. Like, sure, he served in a war and all that, but guess what? He never saw combat. Never saw, he's like, I was grateful I never saw combat.
What do you want from the man he served?
He never saw combat. I wanted him to be a fucking war hero. It's like, I don't know.
I knew I should have brought my umbrella.
I just think the guy's a slimy politician. I don't fucking trust him. He reminds me of that dude from Transmetropolitan that'll basically go in there and say, oh, yeah, we're going to, like, people, they called him the Beast. No, he was called you had the Beast, who was more Republican, and then you had the Smiler. And the Smiler was an absolute asshole. Like, he was talking about that he wanted to basically jack off on the Constitution, because that's how he really felt about the world. You tell everybody this, and you tell everybody that, but really, like, you just don't give a shit about the country. Like, that's literally, yeah, that's what Warren Ellis was talking about, that. And people like this, like, they try to be Republican and conservative and all that kind of crap, sometimes they have, like, real crazy shit that goes on in the back. And yeah. Me and Empress were both watching it, and we're just like, man, I don't know. I don't trust this dude. And, you know, we're digging in. We're looking. She's still looking. Because, like, again, your vote matters. If you're going to vote for somebody, you know, be careful. Like, I want to support Trump, but I don't want to support this guy.
I'm not supporting Vance if just voting for Trump.
Because the problem is, Vance is going to try to push forward with stuff. And Trump can say no.
And all that, but I guarantee you, in anything that he tries,
Trump
and them are far worse.
Oh, I know that. But like I said,
there will be no. You think shit's expensive now.
Yeah, oh, I know. I know.
Hell, we won't. We'll have to pitch in on a dozen eggs. And I eat six at a time, so you know it's going to be.
This is literally becoming... Okay, so something I'm noticing, because look at this article, where Kamala Harris has revealed unsettling truth about GOP men. All right, so you know what this is? This is fucking the manosphere and feminism fighting each other. That's what this election is. Because you have Trump and you have Vance, which are both more... like manosphere relate, like they're using manosphere comments. JD Vance is saying manosphere terms, cat ladies, stuff like that kind of stuff. And then you have Kamala Harris making hardcore feminist points. So we're literally having a real life debate between, well, that's what the debates are going to be.
Anything Kamala says makes no sense. She never has a point.
Well, no, but the thing is, she's going to support the feminists. That's what she's doing right now.
She was giving a speech the other day about the female athletes going. She's like, it is brave and heroic for these sports people to be sports stars.
They're going to have people write her speeches. They're going to have people write her stuff. Yeah, don't worry.
There's only the kids with Down syndrome will understand her.
There's people that are going to write everything that she says. But what we're looking at is a 100% like. Feminist versus meninist. That's exactly what this whole election is going to be. Because you'll have the Trump side, Vance side, that's more meninist. And you're going to have the Kamala side, whoever she picks, which is going to be more feminist.
Right.
So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a real-time debate.
I would just ask people, that's, who do you feel safer around?
Well, it depends on who they...
big part of the border this time around. Or the guy.
Well, see, but here's the thing. This is what they're going to do. It's not going to be about the issues. They're going to talk about the issues, but the main point is they're going to talk about women. Women are going to be, we want access to women and feminism and women. Just let me talk.
Yeah,
let me
let
talk.
You talk.
All right. Feminism and women and all this good stuff. Birth control. Being able to have control of your body and all that stuff. It doesn't matter.
I thought I heard someone yelling.
No, there's nothing. No. Birth control and all that other stuff. It doesn't matter. And then, of course, you have the Vance side. And the Vance side is going to be all these old cat ladies and guys looking at porn and nofap. You should be an alpha male. Like, he's literally trying to do that shit, guys. He's literally standing up for the whole alpha male masculinity, meninism shit. And this guy's like, feminism and we can do it all ourselves. Like, that's what we've got as an election. And I want everybody in the fucking world that's watching. I know some of you guys on BitChute are across the pond. I want you guys to understand this is literally what's going on in our country right now. It is a fucking manifestation of what's been going on YouTube. With all the feminist shit and the meninist shit, it's literally coming into this election. So, I don't know what happens. Do we get a hardcore wave of fourth wave feminism that we've never seen before in our entire life? Or do we get hardcore patriarchy meninism, alpha male, no porn, no jacking off, don't do that, exercise, lift weights, go up to all the women, have trad wives. I don't know. I don't think that's going to go, because the problem is, if you go feminist hardcore, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to reject that. And if you go meninist hardcore, there's going to be a lot of people that reject that.
The women are going to reject it, because
the women are going to reject it, because that's...
It's kind of like the transgender movement we were talking about. They don't want equal rights, or
it's gonna be,
they want to be superior, yes, and rule
each
over.
Each one is trying for superiority. This is not about equality. This is literally one's feminism, one's meninism, and neither one of them are fucking good when pushed to the four limits. The far limits. I don't like that. But
I think a lot of people are still gonna think about not having money for shit.
Well, yeah, but that's like, not what they're talking about.
Well, yeah.
They will bring up those issues, but they're definitely going to run on those fronts. Because right now, America's divided, men and women. And that's what Vance is running, so that's what she's running as well. She's going to definitely talk to him about his cat lady remarks. She's going to talk to him about abortion. Uh-huh. He's going to talk to him about manosphere points. She's going to say, are you talking Andrew Tate? Are you bringing up the horrible sex trafficker? It's going to happen. Yeah. You're going to see this. So, you're going to see this. And I just want everybody to know exactly what's going on. I've been a content creator in the Manosphere for a long time. So, I've seen both the feminist points. I've seen the meninist points. And some points are good. Some points on both sides are good. Problem is, you can't push too hard on either side, or it's fucking bad for everybody. So, with that, at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time on Grimm's, the Grim Articles show. Yeah, I'll get this right. With more great articles for you. Yes, there's a lot of political articles, because it's election season, guys, in America. That's what we're going to be talking about. You know, it won't be forever. We'll go back to some, you know, we try to do some marriage and relationship and stuff like that. And yes, I will try to do my supplemental where I do the tech and gaming articles and stuff, because I know you guys care about that. But right now, that's what we're focusing on. So at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord. We will see you guys next time. I am out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.